tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek.
Welcome to Quick Charge. It's December 17th, 2024, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. We talked a little bit yesterday about how Trump's new transition team in January is moving to kill the EV tax credit, but they're also making other moves, especially attacking state rights like California's ability to issue its own emissions mandates. Well, today, the Supreme Court rejected a challenge to California's right to clean air rules that Trump said he would kill. The U.S. Supreme Court rejected a bid by Ohio and other states to stop California from implementing its own clean air rules, a legal right that California has had since the 1960s. The challenge was brought by Ohio and 16 other Republican-led states who sought to end California's long-supported state's right to protect its residents from dirty air. The states argued that the Constitution doesn't allow the government to treat states unequally, despite the fact that the states bringing the lawsuit have more congressional representation per capita than the state of California. As such, letting California set their own clean air rules is unfair. That's what the Republican argument is. The states seem to think that Californians should be required to breathe just as much poison as their Republican leadership is forcing onto their own citizens. The case has already made its way through the court system, with courts reasonably ruling that the law, which has been effective for 60 years at reducing air pollution and health costs for Californians and other CARB states, should stand. In April, the D.C. Court of Appeals confirmed California's right. But that wasn't enough for Ohio and its 16 Republican buddies, who brought their desire to poison Californians all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, despite the fact that the court has been called needlessly conservative or excessively conservative in recent years, they denied the state's petition, thus affirming the D.C. court's decision will stand. 8 out of 10 of the individuals sitting on the U.S. Supreme Court agreed not to review the case and to let the lower court's decision stand. Clarence Thomas, however, said he would have taken the case, thereby underscoring the fact that he is like the absolute freaking worst. But that's not the only big automotive news we have today. Honda and Nissan are closing in on a merger to survive the industry's rapid shift to electric. Japanese automakers are taking drastic measures to keep pace with Tesla, Chinese EV leaders like BYD, and of course GM, because let's face it, the best-selling Honda EV right now is built on a GM platform. Honda and Nissan are now closing in on a merger to join resources and fend off the incoming competition. The tie-up will also likely involve Mitsubishi, which Nissan owns 24% of. Nissan CEO Makoto Uchida said that collaboration is significant given the two legacy automakers, quote, face common challenges. Those challenges Uchida referred to are Tesla and surging EV makers from China like BYD. According to Nikkei, Honda and Nissan are doubling down and will soon announce an EV merger as they look to catch up. The companies are considering doing business under a holding company, the exact details of which, including ownership, have yet to be decided. Tesla, of course, has radically changed the way that we talk about the automotive industry and the way we talk about automakers as well, establishing itself as a tech and energy company just as much as it is an automotive company. And despite the fact that it has given away its patents in the past, other automakers have been slow to adopt things like the Tesla charging point, now known as the NACS or J3400 National Charging Standard. But there is a difference between patents and trade secrets, which, thanks to the guys in the comments, I now realize. Even so, man sentenced to prison for stealing Tesla secrets, other at large. One man has been sentenced to 2 years in prison for stealing Tesla's trade secrets and trying to sell them, while his co-conspirator is apparently still at large. The Department of Justice announced that one of the two men charged, Klaus Pflugbeil, has received a 2-year prison sentence after pleading guilty. Today, the federal court in Central Islip, Klaus Pflugbeil was sentenced by Judge Joanne M. Azrek to 24 months imprisonment for conspiring to send trade secrets that belong to a leading U.S.-based electric vehicle company, Victim Company One. Pflugbeil, a resident of the People's Republic of China, the PRC or China, and a Canadian and German national, and his co-defendant, Yilong Shao, who remains at large, are owners of a PRC-based business that sold technology used to make batteries, including batteries used in EVs. Pflugbeil and Shao, former employees of a company that was purchased by Victim Company One, took trade secrets from their employer and later used the trade secrets to build a business that they marketed as a replacement for Victim Company One's products. So, like, that's bad. I think we can all agree that that's bad. Sounds kind of shady too. And as we previously reported, the DOJ hasn't disclosed the names of the companies involved, but everything points to it being Tesla and its acquisition of Canada's Hybar Systems. Flugbeil and Shao worked for Hybar and even were listed as Tesla employees once upon a time. The theft was quite brazen, and they went so far as buying ads to advertise that they were selling Tesla technology. Look, guys, we can have a conversation in the comments all you want about whether or not patents should exist, but at the end of the day, they do exist, right? And this is what the great thing about democracy is. You can vote laws into and out of existence. You can even change the Constitution. That's why there's 10 amendments. An amendment means a change. But when the law is on the books, you have to follow the law. And what you cannot do is take out ads explaining to people how you are breaking the law. So this guy's an idiot. Lucky for him, he got sentenced today for 24 months in prison, and not after Elon takes power as the co-president or first lady or whatever he is. He would have put that dude to death, probably put me to death for calling him the first lady. But hey, that was a joke, and that was just me repeating something I read on X Threads and not representative of how I actually feel. Obviously, Elon is no lady. But that's not the only Tesla news today. Tesla is accusing a union group of a coup at Giga Berlin as tensions there rise. IG Metal has been claiming that Tesla is using anti-union tactics and alleges issues with safety, pay, and work-life balance to justify unionizing. Tesla has denied those accusations and claims that its employees are happy without a union. However, Tesla admits that the situation is not without issues. This summer, the company held a factory-wide meeting where the union issue was discussed, and the meeting turned bizarre when plant manager Andre Thierig threatened to take away employee cutlery after he noted that the plant had to order 65,000 coffee cups because they kept disappearing. After the meeting, IG Metal Union Secretary Jonas Bojert threatened the potential use of a strike to force Tesla to the table for a collective bargaining agreement. Michaela Schmitz, the pro-management leader of Tesla Giga Berlin's Workers' Council, claims that IG Metal is the one creating a difficult environment at the plant. IG Metal is now ramping things up by filing in court a request to remove Schmitz from her role at the council over claims of violation of German labor laws meant to prevent companies from impeding unionization efforts. Tesla described the move as desperate and an attempted coup to take control of the Workers' Council. Now, I don't know about you guys, but coups going through the courts tend to be fairly well-documented, orderly, and not really coup-like. But hey, I'm not German. I don't know how it works over there. That said, I am an American, and I like to think that I do know how it works over here. We got a couple of things happening here where, despite the fact that laws and regulations may be changing, a number of companies, states, and municipalities are still working towards the goal of electrification. SoCal Edison, for example, is adding 280 of Chevy Silverado EV work trucks to its service fleet. That one's pretty self-explanatory. Avangrid is set to add 130 new hybrid bucket trucks to utility fleets in New England and the Northeast. Again, self-explanatory, don't need to go too far into it. Colorado State EV Fast Charger Program is adding 33 new highway sites. Again, really self-explanatory there, not much depth to go into, but good stories to check out nonetheless, especially if you're feeling like this whole EV thing is slowing down. It is not. We are rapidly, rapidly accelerating, but we're at the end of our show today. And you know, we like to end these shows talking about the grid, talking about the environment, talking about sustainability and sustainable energy. Today is no different with an announcement. The world's largest single capacity floating wind platform has two turbines. This was written by Michelle Lewis earlier today. Mingyang Smart Energy's huge 16.6 megawatt Ocean X with its double turbine V-shaped floating wind platform has begun operations. It features two MYSE 8.3-180 hybrid drive wind turbines with blade diameters of 597 feet, about 182 meters, and a capacity of 8.3 megawatts each. It's capable of producing 54 million kilowatt hours annually, which is enough to power 30,000 Chinese households. It's also durable enough to withstand winds of up to 160 miles an hour and keep producing electricity. Ocean X's 16,500-ton floating platform is built with, quote, ultra-high-performance concrete, I like that stuff, and a high-strength cable-stayed system. Its single-point mooring allows it to ride waves as high as 98 feet, and I will be vomiting and killing myself. For me, honestly, anything more than about 10 feet, I'm going to be heading to the rail and vomiting my brains out. So if you want to hear more about me and motion sickness, be sure to like and subscribe. We just crossed 7,000 subscribers for the first time today. So that's really exciting stuff. That's it for December 17th. Catch you later.